talk about the virgin birth. And tell your kids, tell your grandkids, tell them the true story of the birth of Jesus. A good suggestion. Amen. Praise God. Matthew 1 and 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, I didn't know we were going to have that emotional testimony about babies. But every baby is a miracle. Every baby is a miracle. We learned from Brother Huff that even babies that might not be beautiful, they're still deserving of a nice comment. He would always say, that's a real baby. And he was right. Every baby is a miracle. And I think it's one of the greatest mysteries that we can ever even know about from God's Word, the mystery of a man and a woman coming together, being married, and the result of that union being the birth of a baby. What a miracle. What a miracle that that is. We had, Marcia's talking about our grandbaby, is a miracle. We've learned, you all know that our daughter had a lot of problems this summer, about 11 weeks of complications after the baby was born, and we learned during the process that she had a condition, a blood condition, called factor V. I never heard of it before. Some of you may have, but it often results in the mother losing the baby most of the time. And so Kara has this blood disorder, factor V, but yet God had mercy, and Emerson was full term. And now she's great, and I just had to show you a picture. And I'll tell you, we've had a time with her. Every baby is a miracle. But some births in the Scripture were more miraculous than others. Amen? For instance, Abraham and Sarah. Whenever the angel of the Lord spoke to and visited Abraham and Sarah overheard this visitor that we know as the Son of God telling Abraham, her husband, that God was going to, he had heard their prayer, and even though that they were old, that there was going to be a baby born, and Sarah's inside the tent, and the Bible says that she laughed. She laughed. And always, to me, that's always so humorous that she's 90 years old, and she hears she's going to have a baby. And I really think that's pretty much a natural reaction to laugh about that. Yet she was reprimanded for that. And but in the not too distant future, a baby was born to fulfill the promise of God to Abraham and Sarah. That was a miracle baby. Another miracle baby was born to Manoah and his wife in Judges chapter 13. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Manoah's wife and told her that she was going to have a child. She had been barren for years, And so she then goes to her husband and tells him that what has happened, that the angel of the Lord has appeared unto her, telling her she's going to have a child, and he's going to be a special child because she's not to eat certain foods or drink wine, and she had the certain things that she was going to have to restrict from her life because of the birth of this deliverer for Israel, whose name was going to be Samson. And so he, the second time that the angel appeared to Manoah's wife, Manoah chased after him, chased after the angel and said, "Why don't you come and let me prepare a meal? Let me kill an animal and provide a meal for you." And he just said to him, "No, I don't want you to do that." Of course, I'm paraphrasing. "No, I don't want you to do that. Instead, just offer a sacrifice of praise unto the Lord." The Bible says that's exactly what Manoah did. He killed an animal, built a fire, offered a sacrifice. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord did wondrous things. Wondrous things. He put on a show for him. And when I read that, I was thinking, what could he have done? We don't really know. All we know that he just did miraculous things and revealed himself as the messenger of God and then ascended into the heavens in the flame of the fire. Wow. And then not much longer from that date, little Samson was born. Miracle babies. Miracle babies. Hannah, who was also barren and grieved that she had not had a child. She would go up every year to offer her sacrifices and pray to the Lord. But on this particular year, she's overwhelmed with grief and sorrow as she prays to the Lord. And the priest Eli hears her and witnesses her cry and comes in to her thinking that she's drunk. And instead, she is in bitterness of soul. The Bible says that the priest Eli said to her, "At such and such time, the thing you've desired is going to take place. And if you're going to give this child, he's going to belong to the Lord." And we know that Samuel was given to the Lord and belonged to the Lord from the day of his birth. Then in the New Testament, Zacharias and Elizabeth, again, she is aged and she's barren. No child, and she desires a child. This was another miracle baby that came in their older years. Zacharias is in the temple offering sacrifices and fulfilling his duty as a priest. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and gave them this heavenly announcement that there's going to be a baby born and he's going to be special too. His name is going to be John and you're going to name him John. And all that Zacharias did was just question what he said. And the angel of the Lord said, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of the Lord. When I speak, you better listen to what I've got to say." And from that day forward, Zacharias could not speak, but only gave motions. But we know that in just a matter of a few months, John the Baptist was born. Miracle babies in the Bible. All that came as a result. Every baby is a miracle. These were miraculous in particular, but the greatest of miracle babies was the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. The birth of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the birth of Jesus and the virgin birth of Jesus is foundational. It is the focus of, it should be the focus of this Christmas season as we remember that all that he has done and that God is the God who works miracles, and Jesus coming into this world in the form of a little baby is probably the greatest miracle of the entire Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know there are a lot of philosophies and a lot of crazy ideas related to Christmas. And really, there's kind of two extremes that you'll see in the world today. And one of the extremes is to take just the Bible story related to Christmas and to twist it and to change it to the point that it hardly even resembles the story that we read in the Bible. They're making a myth almost, like it's a legend, and they tend to change it. And we believe it. That's why it's important that you read it every year, that you read and you teach your children the accurate story from God's Word. Don't confuse your kids about Christmas. This is too important of a message. Do not confuse them about Christmas. Amen. There weren't just three wise men. There were three gifts, three different types of gifts. Likely, there could have been dozens of the Magi. There might have been more than that. It doesn't really say how many. It just says there were three gifts, but we kind of twist things, change things into an inaccurate biblical account. Amen. The animals didn't sing at the stable. There wasn't a little drummer boy there. We twist things around, and you may see it on a cartoon and believe it, but let me tell you, you need to read it from the Word of God and teach it to your children from God's Word, or otherwise it becomes a legend or a myth with all of the confusion that's added in by the world. And of course, then there's the effort to just completely secularize the whole Christmas season. And that's a dangerous thing too. Now, I'm not here to slam Santa Claus or the reindeer or any of those things, and so don't get upset with me. I know that many years ago, I wasn't here, but I heard the story out in children's church that Marty brought a Santa Claus in before all the kids, and then he started taking off his beard and his hat, and he was wanting to convince the kids that Santa Claus wasn't real. Well, as I understand it, there was a pretty big uproar over that. Huh? Nearly split the church over Santa Claus. So we won't be doing that. We won't be doing that today. But I want you to know that it's an important thing that we veer away from the secular, worldly ideas, and we make the biblical account the most important thing about Christmas. I love the tradition of reading the Christmas story on Christmas Day to all of the family. I think it's an important thing to make it the real Christmas story from God's Word. And a part of it is the virgin birth of Jesus. And you know how to teach your children. You don't have to go into any kind of details that might make you uncomfortable. But let me tell you, kids will be kids, and they know how to ask all kinds of interesting questions. So just be prepared as you tell them the story. But this account from the Word of God, not only from Matthew, but it's also in Luke, we know that no doctrine is established by any isolated verse of Scripture. We know that doctrine is established by foundational Scriptures, more than one just verse of Scripture. And so there are many places in the Bible that just give emphasis to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 7 and 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. 700 years before Jesus came, it was prophesied. And interesting enough, some versions of the Bible, which I do not recommend, have changed it from virgin to young woman. Well, that changes the whole impact of the message. So if you're reading from a version of the Bible that says a young woman, that's not a good version to be reading after. Amen. 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 Because she was a virgin. She was not just a young woman. And we need to understand what the Bible says. Amen. Glory to God. Now, this message of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is just like the resurrection, one of the most attacked passages of Scripture in all the Word of God. Theologians have for years and years argued it, debated it, tried to twist the Scriptures, change the Scriptures, and sad to say, there are many, many liberal theologians today that don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a few statistics. A survey of 7,441 American clergy. From the Lutherans, only 19% of Lutherans Lutheran clergy believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. The American Baptist, that's not Southern Baptist, American Baptist, 34% of the American Baptists do not believe in the virgin birth. Episcopalians, 44% of Episcopalians are liberal and don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Presbyterians, 49%. Shocking. And this is the one that really shocks me. Methodist, 60% of Methodist clergy do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. John Wesley is probably rolling over in his grave that there would be that big of a percentage of Methodists that don't believe what the Bible has to say about Jesus and how he came and how he was born into this world. I'm so glad that we have the Word of God. We need to be readers of it. Study the Bible. See what the Bible says. And don't allow the changes that are being brought to pass by liberal thinkers, liberal theologians, to change your mind. But believe what the Bible says. Jesus was born of a virgin. Amen. This is foundational. The whole superstructure, everything we believe, is going to crumble if we veer away from these very foundational doctrines. Amen. So let's stay with the truth. It's what we're built upon, God's Word, the truth. Brother Bowman went back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. I thought he was just going to get all over everything I was going to say today. Genesis 3:15 is the first messianic prophecy. It's the first place in the Scripture where there's the suggestion that there's going to be a Savior, a Deliverer, a Messiah that's going to come. Amen. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking about Satan himself. I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. Her seed was God himself. Amen. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is talking about what Satan was able to accomplish in bruising the heel of the Savior, the Messiah. And he was allowed to, by the plan of God, to bring Jesus to that place of crucifixion and suffering, dying on the cross, and all that took place. His heel was bruised, but he came forth out of the tomb victorious over death. It was temporary. Amen. But the blow to the head was the blow that Satan got by the... And that's what the prophecy was saying. This Messiah that was going to come, that was going to be the seed of God himself, it's going to bruise his head. And thou shalt bruise his heel. His head is going to be, it's going to be a death blow to Satan. Amen. And that's what Jesus came to do, to destroy the works of the enemy, to destroy all that that Satan is attempting to do, destroying all the power and the authority that Satan ever had over mankind. That blow to the head, it destroyed the power and the authority of Satan over you and over me. And today we can walk in the victory. Today we can know what liberty is. We can know what salvation is. We can know what freedom from sin is because of what Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And that was prophesied all the way back there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Praise God. He was born of a virgin. Now, we don't pray to Mary. We don't give her any particular special honor to Mary other than the fact that she was just a chosen handmaid of the Lord. She was chosen of the Lord. I know that some, you know, religions and philosophies believe that you have better access to Jesus if you go through Mary. Well, we don't believe that because that's extra biblical. That's not the Word of God. We know that Mary had her place. She was chosen of God. She was the maiden chosen by the Lord. And the announcement came to her. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. The Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And it's the same word that's used to tabernacle, or the glory of the Lord that would rest over the tabernacle. The same
theme there as the presence of God to overshadow. And that's what happened. The Spirit of God overshadowed her, and she then was with child. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we know that we need to be right on point when we talk about Christmas. Amen. You know, really, you don't have to worry. The world is going to spend all of its time filling up your minds and with the secular ideas of Christmas. And so I think as Christians, Bible-believing Christians, that we need to really put on a great deal of effort to counter the spirit of this age and all the things that are not biblical. But as Christians, we need to tell the story, read the story, teach it and believe it and understand that this is the most glorious message that Jesus came into the world to provide hope for mankind and to give salvation. Amen. So why do we make a big deal about the virgin birth of Jesus? Let me give you just a few reasons. Number one, the authority of the Scripture. We believe that the Word of God is infallible, it's inerrant, it's inspired of God. Amen. We believe that holy men of old wrote as the Holy Ghost gave them the words to say. Amen. So it's divinely inspired. It came from the heart of God. Amen. It was filtered through men as God used them to scribe the word of God. But the word of God is infallible. It's inerrant. It's inspired. All of it. We believe his word. Amen. If we begin to question the Word of God, even one part of the Word of God, then it all falls apart. If one part of the Word of God is inaccurate, then we have found ourselves in a very, very vulnerable place. If we attack the Scripture in any area, then what we believe begins to fall apart. So we believe that the Word of God is infallible, it's inerrant, it's inspired. Amen. Praise God. John Wolford said this. He said, upon it, the whole superstructure of Christian theology depends. Probably no portion of Scripture has received more intense examination, more scholarly research, more theological debate than the four Gospels as they unfold the birth and the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the focal point of debate and question, and that's exactly what the enemy wants to do, is to try to destroy the word of the Lord. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, till that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We believe in the virgin birth of Jesus because we believe that this is the Bible, God's holy word. It's inspired, it's infallible, and it is inerrant. Amen. Praise God. So we don't accept any attacks against the Word of God. Number two, we believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ because we know that we're only saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus was not just a man. As a matter of fact, to study all of chapter 1 of Matthew is to reveal that the first half of it is giving the lineage of Jesus from the human side. And then the last part, beginning in verse 18 with the text that we read, it reveals the divine side, that he was a God-man. He was all God and all man. I'm not asking you to understand it. I just know that we must believe it. It's the truth. Amen. 100% man, 100% God. Amen. We believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was God. Amen. He was the Son of God. He was sinless. He was perfect. And it was only through him and through his shed blood, the perfect Son of God, that you and I can be saved. Amen. And that was the wonderful provision that was given to us through the miracle of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. That he was truly man, but he was also God. Amen. I know we can't, our minds have a hard time wrapping around that and completely understanding that, but the deity of Christ is the second point, the second reason why that we believe in the necessity of this important doctrine of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and that we cannot be saved if it was not for the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Now you think, well, that's just common knowledge. Oh, no, that's the very issue that's being attacked today. That is the issue that is at the forefront of debate today in Christian thinking, Christian theology, and many today, they're attacking the fact that Jesus Christ was truly God. And they want to remove that important doctrine. But we stand firmly on that today. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Glory to God. He was righteous. He was pure. He was holy. And today we're saved only because of a Savior that was the virgin-born child of Mary, who gave birth to the Son of the living God. And you and I know Jesus Christ today because of that wonderful truth. Amen. The authority of the Scripture, the deity of Jesus Christ. 3, the power of Jesus, his power. His power is revealed in all the acts and all the miracles that he performed. Amen. Even when Mary questioned all these things happening, that she was going to be with child, the angel messenger gave her this message, that she was going to be with child of the Holy Ghost, and that her aunt Elizabeth was going to be a child. It was going to be a miraculous baby as well. And when she questioned it, the Scripture says, 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The reason why that the virgin birth is so attacked, because it has the element of the miraculous, the supernatural. Amen. Babies are born, and I said that it's a miracle that they are born, and it certainly is. But the virgin birth was this supernatural, miraculous event that took place that proved the power of God. Amen. The power of Jesus Christ, who then, whenever he started his earthly ministry, turned the water into the wine, healed the sick, raised the dead, performed miracle after miracle all throughout his life and his ministry, proving the fact that he was truly the Son of the living God. Amen. And it cannot be denied that he is Jesus, the Son of the living God. And he could not be that if it were not for the virgin birth. Amen. One more thing is that is our salvation today. The fact that we're saved, it is a supernatural thing. It's a gift of God. And it's the only way that you can truly be born again is by the power of the Spirit of God as you receive forgiveness of sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How does he have power to forgive sins? He's the Son of God. Amen. All power, all authority has been given to him. And so he can take care of the problem of sin in your life and my life. And it was only that sinless Son of God that could be the ultimate sacrifice. Lay down his life, go to the cross, and die the horrible death of the cross. And he did it all so you and I could receive forgiveness of sins. Praise the Lord. Without this wonderful truth, then you are lost in your sin. There's no hope for you or for me to ever be saved. But we're saved today because of the wonderful work of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So today I just want to encourage you. Make this theme, this message, something that you give great emphasis to. Amen. When you're around the Christmas tree, when you're opening up gifts, then before you get involved in all of those things, it'll be a wonderful thing to talk about what the Bible has to say. Amen. I think that we sell our kids too short in thinking they can't understand or they can't receive some of these important truths. You'd be surprised at how much that your kids understand and how much truth that can be, they can comprehend when you talk to them from the story of the Bible. Amen. Amen. Something about truth that has to power, has the power to penetrate even the minds and the hearts of little children and help them to see and to understand, especially in light of all of the challenges and all the competition, the things that are going on in our world that are competing with the truth. Make sure as Christians that you are emphasizing what the Bible has to say about the birth of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That was the miracle. That was the miracle. Joseph didn't believe it or understand it at first, but then he gets the angelic visit himself that convinces him as he receives the word in a dream that all the things that Mary had spoken to him, it was true. And from that day forward, Joseph was transformed and changed. Hallelujah. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Amen. So there are wonderful places. I didn't go through Old Testament verses of Scripture that relate to the virgin birth, except for a couple. There are several others in the Old Testament, plus many others in the New Testament, all confirming the fact that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have the truth in the midst of a dark time when there's so much error, so much misunderstanding. Thank you, Lord, that there is salvation through you and through your mighty power. I just pray, Lord, today, Lord, that we would receive this reminder again of the wonderful hope that we have through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that if there are those in this service today that are not saved, those among us in this place today, Lord, that they haven't surrendered their life to you, that, Lord, they would not walk away, but instead they would reach out in faith, put their trust in the Word of God, and believe, Lord, that you alone can forgive sins. You alone can bring hope and healing and transformation. We ask, Lord, that you would work mightily in this place today. And, Lord, there would be those that their lives would be changed by the wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.